Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
I'm going to be reading for you from Luke 23 in just a moment. It is the pinnacle of the story. It is where everything has been leading up to. We have moments of those in stories and in our lives where we work for something and we do something for so long that it's nice to kind of reach the end and realize, yes, this is what it is all about. It happens oftentimes in life with graduations or end time moments. We had one of those recently this last week. I'm going to brag about my son for just a moment. He has been in marching band for the last 5 years. Since he was in eighth grade, he joined them. He was a part of that and a part of that whole process. And they had a marching band award. And they went through all the awards. And we go to those and clap for all those who have been a part of that. And at the very end, Skeffington said at the end, he said, this last one, this is the Member of the Year award, goes to somebody who is like another staff member. And when he said Eric George, I couldn't help but hoot and holler. I was absolutely shocked. And talking with him afterwards, he said, you know, it's good after all these years to actually be recognized, remembered for something, to come to that moment, that culmination, and say everything has kind of led up to and shown appreciation for kind of this moment, this time in life. And life has these kinds of moments where we work and we strive for something until that moment comes. It could be a graduation. It could be a retirement. It could be the birth of a child or a grandchild, moments in which you plan and you prepare and they come to a particular moment. In stories and in life and even biographies, that we start to recognize that things that happen in life often lead to a particular point, a particular moment. And it's no different in this story of the gospel. In Luke, everything that he has told us about Jesus so far leading up to this passage of scripture I'm about to read is going to this climax, this story, this pinnacle of what is happening to Jesus. We are going to go to a point of scripture that oftentimes gets missed in the Easter season as we lead up to Easter. And then we go right from Palm Sunday, entering Jerusalem, into Easter Sunday, the resurrection. Today, we're going to take a moment and look at Jesus' last moments on the cross. Everything in Luke is leading up to this moment in Luke chapter 23. Starting at verse 33, says this, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And there was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Let's kind of walk through this story a little bit. Leading up to this moment, Jesus has been talking to all those gathered that they can be a part of the kingdom of God. He is talking with them and sharing with them what it looks like and what it could be like to be a part of this kingdom, what it looks like to follow Jesus and to live in God's will. It is a story of forgiveness. It is a story of grace. It is a story of loving your neighbor. It is a story in which the picture he paints is one in which there is a God who absolutely loves everybody in this world, and he's gathering people together, and he is doing miracles and showing that in this kingdom of God too, that there is no longer pain, there's no longer suffering, that we are freed from the kind of the tragedies of life. But as he gathers this following, as he gathers this influence. There are those who are threatened by it. And so they begin to recognize that there is a way that perhaps they can get rid of him. He's talking about another kingdom. Maybe, just maybe, if he is painted as a king, as a threat to the throne, to the Caesar, they can have him crucified. This is what the powers of the world who don't like the followers he's gathering do. Leading up to this, he hadn't talked about being a king too much. When he talked about the kingdom of God, at one point he says, the Father has given me authority and I'm sharing that with you, the disciples. And it was his way of saying that you can make a difference in this world, that the power of God can be with you in this world. And so that's kind of the closest he got until he's brought before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says, people are saying that you are a king. Is this so? And he just says, it is as you say. It's his way of saying, what you say about me matters. What Jesus is saying there is your confession about who I am matters. He isn't giving him anything to act on, but he's just letting those words stand. And so they take him to a place that is terrifying, that is known for something. When a place has a nickname, it's because it has a history. It's because it's known for something. And so to call the place the Skull is because this is where death happened. Some have conjectured maybe the hill looked a little bit like the base of the skull or something like that. But this is a place where you know this is where death happens. And so he goes, led to this hill. The cross is carried there and he's put on the cross and he is hung with the criminals. And now when Jesus looks around and he's in his last moments, he looks around at those who are mocking him. He looks around at those who have put him on the cross, who have rejected him, are jeering at him. And he says the most amazing words. He looks at them and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now in our world today, if someone doesn't know something, that is the catalyst for mocking. That is the catalyst for saying, okay, you need to wake up and have your eyes open. You're just ignorant of this injustice or that problem or this issue. For Jesus to look around at people who don't know what they're doing, what he says to God is, God, forgive them. He continues to offer the grace of God, which was always offered throughout his life, to invite them into the kingdom. And what do the people do in response? They look for a souvenir out of his clothes. Tearing his clothes, putting it in his pocket, having something to remember this person who they thought would just leave just a moment's memory. And they're sneering at him and they're realizing that here's a guy who's understood. He saved others from illness. He saved other people from disease. He saved other people from demons. He made a big difference. He gathered a large group of following. But if he is God's Messiah, wouldn't he save himself? Let's see what happens. And they're mocking and they're jeering at him saying, come on, you can do this. Even the soldiers come up to him and give him the most bitter of wine and then say, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now this question that they are asking, this call that they bring out to Jesus, if you are the king of the Jews or if you are the Messiah, save yourself, is not unlike questions we ask to God all the time. God, if you're watching, why would you let? God, if you're ruler, why is some of the things in this world the way that they are? Their calls out to Jesus are sometimes the same calls that we have. If you are who you say you are, why don't you do something about this? And this is their cry out to Jesus. If you are who you say you are, get yourself down off that cross. Jesus is surrounded by people who don't know what they're doing to him and are mocking him for who he are. Even the sign, this is the king of the Jews, it is an emblem of mockery, is an emblem of saying, this is what he did, this is who he said he is, and it is the worst. It's like today when someone loses a bet and has to stand on the corner with one of those like cardboard signs. Or when someone posts online a picture of their dog who tore up their living room with a sign that says, this is why he's in the shame corner or something. If you've ever seen those. Like this sign is a symbol of shame. It is, look at this one and realize what a mess he is. He is the king of the Jews, so he says, but he is hung like a criminal. And one of the criminals is hurling insults at him and saying, come on, if you are who you are, save yourself and don't forget about us as well. That he joins in. This is the cry, God, if you are who you say you are, Would you do something right now that I need you to do in this life? The other criminal there recognizes that this is not their place to determine whether or not God is who He says He is. He is not going to mock him for the situation that he's in. In fact, he recognizes where his own actions have led him to this point. When he just says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, I presume, could without a doubt have brought himself down, could have called in the angels, and could have brought himself down from that cross. But I think in continuing all the way through, he lets what the people have done to him continue because our life is always ultimately in our own hands. And there is nothing more in our hands than the decision God has given us to allow us to make a statement of faith as to whether or not we will believe in the one who is hanging on the cross and whether or not he is the Son of God for us. And Jesus' words to the one who says, Jesus, remember me. He says, you will be with me in paradise. That Jesus says that there is something else happening in this story. That even though everything that is pivotal to our faith happens here on the cross, this is the moment where we recognize God extends indeed forgiveness to the world that looks on and mocks. When Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. What happens on the cross is the moment of the Father's forgiveness, where the very worst that could happen in our world is one that even God is able to say, there is nothing that can separate you from my love. There is nothing in this world that can separate you from what I want to extend and the grace I want to give to you. This is the good news. This is the gospel. That nobody, no criminal, no insurrectionist, no one, no matter what they have done, can fully escape the promise of going into paradise. And in this story, this is the pinnacle of the gospel and has left us wondering, what do we do from here? And in every story, after you get to climax, after you get to the, this is what everything was building up to, you have what is next then, the closing and wrapping up of tying up all the loose ends. And there is another chapter in Luke 2 that says this is not going to be the end. There is one more chapter that says that does not end with this death. That we know that there is a resurrection, that we know that there is indeed a God who ultimately says this one who was utterly rejected, this one who died is one I'm going to raise up, and I will, by doing this, show that I can be gracious and merciful to everyone in this world, that indeed forgiveness can be extended. In the weeks coming up, we are going to be celebrating what in the church world is called Advent, which literally means an expectation, anticipation of something that is coming. And so we're going to have a sermon series called Coming Soon. It is going to be this understanding of there is a God who is going to do something new among us. There is a God who is going to return in Jesus Christ when He comes again and restores indeed this world to the kingdom that God has always intended for His creation. And that in all of that, that we have a place in that, that we have a response as well. And that we are to, that there is a new anticipation. You see, life is full of these kind of moments where it leads up to moments where you build and you work for something, you buy your first home, you get your dream job, you graduate or you have your child, you celebrate moments with them. We have all these moments, ups and downs that we build for, and then there is something else. And if Jesus Christ has saved us, if we've reached that moment where He said, okay, who is God for me? And I'm going to recognize that He is the one who offers forgiveness, and He is the one who says, you can be with me in paradise. Where does that take us now? What is the next step? Where do we go from there? And so in the weeks to come, that's what we're going to do as a part of our Coming Soon series, is that we are going to be looking at, if there is a Christ who is coming soon, who is returning again, if we are going to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the return of Jesus in anticipation of what God is going to do in our lives, how do we prepare for that? Because we do have a role and we have a place in this world. And so we're going to talk about how we're going to grow together in discipleship, how we're going to grow in faith together, and we are going to learn to follow this God who has loved us all the way to the cross. This one who begs us to look upon Him and see the claim that He is the King of the Jews and either see that as just a claim to be ignored or to be scoffed at, or a claim that calls upon our life and calls on faithfulness and a confession on our behalf to recognize that indeed there is something special about this Jesus and about this God who has loved us despite where His love for us took Him. And so today, in this moment, I hope that we find ourselves in the shoes of the cross, of the thief who said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There are two ways of looking upon Jesus. One is to recognize Him for the Son of God that He is, or the other is to see Him as one who is just someone to be ignored or to be looked upon. And He invites us to make a statement of faith, and with that too, to enter into the promise of the one who says, "I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. And when I come again, you will find that you will dwell with me for all eternity." This is the gospel promise. And it is my hope that as we get ready also for this new season, that we will find ourselves saying, "God, if you are coming again, and if you have laid a stake and a claim on our life, how does that then direct and change how I am to live?" Both in a moral sense, but also in a making a difference in this world kind of way. How can I extend and show the love and grace that you have given to us? For this faith is more than just what I take in, but also how I share with the world around us. I believe indeed that Jesus is coming soon, that He is coming at some point in time, and we are to live in anticipation of that. Whether that is something that happens in our lifetime or whether that is something that happens at our death, that we know the appearance of Jesus and our presence before Him is something that is on the horizon and is something that is not to be feared, but it's something that we can rejoice in and know that there's a God who has loved us no matter our past and no matter where it has taken us, that He says, "You can be forgiven." For if those who are leading Jesus to the cross can be forgiven, we can as well. And so can all those around us.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.